All right, open your Bibles once again to Acts chapter 5. Let me read just one verse of Scripture. And as Liz Taylor said to her last husband, I won't keep you long. I won't keep you long tonight. It's been a long day, and a lot of you have been here since 8 o'clock this morning. But I do have a thought that I want to share with you on the heart that we've been looking at Ananias and Sapphira out of the 5th chapter. And there is something that is stated in the 3rd verse that I preached on last Sunday night. And I want to just go back and take one more look at the heart tonight. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember, were members of the early church. They sold a possession and they kept back part of the money and brought the rest to the church and laid it at the apostles' feet. And in verse 3, the Lord told Peter, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the land? And I want us to take one more look at the heart tonight. So keep your Bible open here to this passage of Scripture, and let's pray, and then we'll take one more look at the heart. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the good report that we heard of what happened at camp this week. Lord, thank you for Pastor Atkinson and for the folks that help him, and Lord, for putting all this together. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon the week. Lord, thank you for a good day. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord, all the hard work that the choir and the orchestra put in to make this day special, and Lord, thank you for the readings this morning, and Lord, just the way you blessed in the services this morning. And now, Lord, we're looking forward to what you're going to say to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to realize the importance of guarding our hearts, keeping our hearts clean, keeping our hearts where you can use us, and where, Lord, we're growing and maturing in spiritual things. And Lord, I just pray that you will just help us tonight to see the point that I want to make. And Lord, as we take one more look at the heart tonight, may you bless it for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Oh, Lord, thank you for your grace and goodness. Now bless us richly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to take one more look at the heart of Ananias and Sapphira, make some application to where we can just a little bit better maybe see our own hearts. The heart, as we learned last Sunday night, is the center of our personality. The heart includes the feelings and the emotions. It is the center of us. It is the center of who we are. The great center out of which everything comes, which controls our every facet of who we are, of what we are, and it is the heart that we learned last week where all of our troubles come. Ananias and Sapphira's trouble came from their heart. It came from what they decided to do, what they thought about, what they pondered upon, and the decisions that were made in their hearts. Last week we saw that our problems are not intellectual in nature. If our problems were intellectual, then our educational systems would be able to solve our problems. But they are not intellectual in nature. We all know that even though people go through high school and they go on and attend college, and then some even go on to grad school, even those who make educational pursuit their main thing in life still battle a wicked heart. So education is not the solution. There is a part of us that will contradict all the knowledge that we can acquire and then trample all over it and violate it so that we go ahead and do the wrong thing even though we are fully aware of what we're doing. So the intellect is not where the problem is. The problem is in the heart, that great center of each and every one of us. Now, Peter asked Ananias why he and Sapphira, his wife, had conceived this thing in their heart. And that is the question that men have been asking of other men for as long as we've all been on this planet. Why did you do that? We've all asked our children, why did you do that? But you were asked that very question by your own parents. Your parents asked you, why did you do that? And many a time we just stand and throw our hands up and we do not know why we did, why we have done the things that we have done in life. And these people are merely, when they ask this question, they're trying to figure out what causes some people to cross over that invisible moral line in hopes of coming up with some cause or some theory that can be applied to someone else that will stop them from crossing the same line. And so, but the point is, none of it works. And that shows us today that men take a very superficial view of the real problem of humanity. We simply do not look at the real problem, and the problem is the heart. Now, tonight, I want us to take another look at what the Scriptures tell us about the heart of man. And there are some amazing statements in the Bible that God gives us concerning the heart and some things that I want us to consider this evening. First of all, I want you to realize that the Bible says that the heart of man is wicked. It is wicked. I want you to hold your place here and go over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and let me read to you a very familiar verse of Scripture, but a verse that describes and defines for us our hearts. And this is God's evaluation of us. Folks, I figure if anybody knows the heart of man, it's God. And so what does God say about our hearts? Well, in the 9th verse, God said this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful above all things. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. Plainly put, God says that the heart of man is wicked and rotten to the core. And he asks the question at the end of making this statement, who can know it? Folks, just about the time you think you have got somebody's heart figured out, they'll do something or someone else will come along and do something that is even more wicked and more despicable and more heinous and more deceitful than anything you've ever seen before. You know, just look at society. Just about the time that we think we have one criminal or one mass murderer figured out, some other one comes along and just blows all our theories out of the water. You know, we psychoanalyze Ted Bundy, and then Jeffrey Dahmer comes along. I mean, who can know the heart? Well, the only person really that understands the heart and understands it fully and understands it completely is God Almighty. I certainly don't understand it. You don't understand it, but God does. And I want you to notice what God says in this 9th verse. He says the heart. Now, that means that my heart is wicked, but don't look at me like that. Yours is too, all right? The heart. We're all of us have a deceitful and a wicked heart. The Bible says that the heart of every person is deceitful and desperately wicked. It is what we are by nature. And that is what the old-timers used to call the plague of one's own heart. The plague of one's own heart, that it is deceitful, that it is desperately wicked. And folks, the heart problem is illustrated perfectly here in this story of Ananias and Sapphira. For Peter knew what was in this man's heart. The Lord had revealed it to him, and so Peter knew it. Remember the question, who can know it? Well, the Holy Spirit knows what's in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to Peter and said, and Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" the heart, all of us. That's all of us. Now, folks, listen. You will not fully understand yourself until you are aware of your own heart's capabilities. Please realize that. Notice that Peter said, Ananias, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? In other words, he said, Ananias, why did you do this? What made you do this? And I need to ask you, have you ever felt that way about yourself? I mean, you maybe don't know sometimes why you have thought the way you thought, or you do not realize, or you do not know why you've allowed something to enter into your mind. I mean, have you ever wondered, what is it in me that causes me to think this way? Well, folks, listen, it's your heart. And it's deceitful, and it's desperately wicked. And that means that your heart, my heart, everybody on this platform's heart, all of us need to guard our hearts. The devil knows where your weakness is. The devil knows how to attack your heart in order to get you to stumble and fall. And so we need to be aware. Now let's analyze this problem for just a minute. The human heart is in such a terrible state that people deceive themselves. We deceive ourselves. I mean, we're such fools, and we have such deceitful hearts that we always think that we're better than what we are. And I think that we're all guilty of doing that. You know, all of us say that, well, you know, Pastor, I did this, but you know, that's not as bad as what so-and-so did. I mean, we that's how we rationalize our behavior. And I think that this is what keeps a lot of folks from trusting Christ as their Savior. I mean, I really do. I think they'll hear the gospel, but then they'll think, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Or they'll see somebody else and they'll say, you know, I'm not as bad as that person. Dear friend, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but yes, you are. We're all sinners. We all have a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we all have that deceitful heart. And our hearts can deceive us into thinking that we're better than we are. And so it becomes easy for us to deceive ourselves, because we always can find someone who is in worse condition than what we are. But the truth is, all of us have a heart that is desperately wicked. I've known people through the years, and my own dad was one of these. My own dad, it took him years to come to the conclusion that he was indeed a sinner who needed to be saved, because he was such a good guy. He was just such a good moral person, and he just thought right and lived right, and it took him a while to realize that he needed the Lord. But folks, that's how deceitful our hearts can be. I don't care how good a person you are, the Bible, when we view ourselves as God views us, God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us are sinners before the Lord, and therefore all of us need the Lord. You know, I think that this is always the mistake that criminals make. Criminals are caught because they think that they have planned the perfect crime, but they always make a mistake somewhere, and their first mistake is that they always think that they are more clever than what they really are. They think they're more clever than what they really are. And that's where Ananias and Sapphira got themselves in trouble, because there was someone who knew what was in their hearts, and that someone told on them. God knew what was in their hearts. And here's what Ananias and Sapphira thought. Now think about this, Christian, think about this. Ananias and Sapphira thought that they could have the best of both worlds. And I think that this is an area where our hearts get us into more trouble, but we don't realize what's going on. Ananias and Sapphira thought that they could have the best of both worlds. And that's exactly what all of us think. Both of them agreed on the scheme that they had put together, they both agreed that it was a wonderful scheme. Yeah, I think they both were in on it. Can you hear them reasoning it out to each other? One of them looks at the other and says, you know, we will please the church, but we will also please ourselves. Are you listening to me? This is exactly where we are in so many churches today. And I realize that you're here on Sunday night, so I'm really not preaching to you. But would you go tell all those folks that were here this morning that aren't back tonight what I said tonight? All right? Listen, here's what we think. We think that, well, you know, we will please the church and then we'll please ourselves. You know what Ananias was saying? He was saying, we are serving God and mammon. We are serving God and the world. We are getting all the advantages of sacrifice, the public applause and the approval, while we are receiving what we want, in that we're going to take some of that money out for ourselves. Can I remind you, dear friend, that that's exactly what a lot of folks do in their Christian walk. They'll come to church on a Sunday morning, but they don't see the need to come back on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. They don't see the need to tell somebody out here that's on his way to hell about Jesus. They just don't see the need for living for the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. They are satisfied to be just like Ananias and Sapphira. Are you listening to me? And Jesus said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, we want to go to heaven, but we want our fill of the world while we're on our way. We want to go to heaven. Oh, Pastor, I want to go to heaven when I die. But, Pastor, do I have to be back on Sunday night? No, my friend, you don't have to be back on Sunday night. But if you want to enjoy the ride a little better, you ought to be here on Sunday night. No, you don't have to be here on Wednesday night, but I'm telling you, it's the road to heaven is so much more full of blessing when you're here on Wednesday night and Sunday night and living for Jesus 7 days a week than if you just hit and miss and show up when it's convenient for you to show up. Now, I know you guys are here on Sunday night, and God bless you for it. So go tell everybody what I said. I'd like for them to hear it. And folks, here's Ananias and Sapphira saying, we want the best of both worlds. But folks, that's not the way it works. You cannot walk the broad way and the straight and narrow way at the same time. And here's the point. It is a deceitful and a desperately wicked heart that makes you think you can. And those who try this method think that they are so clever. And they think they've got it all. They attend church when it's convenient for them to attend church, but then they believe and disbelieve whatever they choose. Now let me illustrate what I mean. Let me show you what I mean by way of illustration. I have said for years, and I'm convinced of this, I know some of you don't agree with me, I tell you, one of these days, every one of y'all is going to agree with everything I say. Now, some of y'all just took that the wrong way. Listen very carefully. I've said this for years, and I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I'm convinced that Christians don't read their Bibles. I really am. I'm convinced that Christians don't read their Bibles. You say, well, I read my Bible. Amen. I'm glad you do. But can I also remind you, you're here? Well, I read my Bible. Yeah, can I remind you, you'll probably be here Tuesday night for visitation or Thursday night for visitation. You'll probably be here Wednesday night. Well, Pastor, I read my Bible. Amen. Thank God you do. That's the reason why we're able to keep on keeping on, because there are some that do. But I'm convinced that there's a lot of God's people that don't read their Bibles. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world could you make a statement like that? Listen, dear friend, If we would read the Bible and believe it, we would be in church. If we would read the Bible and believe it, we would tithe. If we would read the Bible and believe it, listen to me now, we would join the church and get busy doing something for God. Now, that is if we read the Bible and believed it. You say, well, I read the Bible. All right, then let me clarify. If you would read the Bible and believe it, you would join the church and you'd get busy doing something for God. So why don't you? I tell you why you don't. Because within you, within me, is a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. And our hearts, listen now, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to get you to think. Our hearts tell us to attend church. But then they tell us, you don't have to agree with that preacher. My friend, look at me. You don't have to agree with this preacher. Did you hear what I said? I'm not asking a one of you to agree with this preacher. I'm asking you to agree with God. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you would get in this book and read this book on a daily basis, you wouldn't sit out here and get angry with me when I preach something that rubs you the wrong way. Do you folks think that I sit in my office and just whip up stuff to make you mad? Huh? No. My goodness, folks, I want you to love me. I mean, I really do. You say, well, you don't act like it. That's because my desire to get the truth to you is greater than my desire for you to love me. But listen, I'll come in here with a message to preach something, and inevitably somebody will sit there and you wouldn't do that to me if you were in the book. Folks, I'm telling you, you say, well, why do I do that? I'll tell you why you do it. You do it for the same reason that everybody else does it. You've got a heart in you that is deceitful and is desperately wicked, and the devil has deceived you into thinking that I'm after you for something. I'm not after you for anything other than to live for God. Look at me. I don't want your money. I could give two hoots about your money. You say, well, Pastor, aren't you concerned that the church, you know, we're in hard economic times. Aren't you concerned that the church might need, the offerings are down because people are having a hard time paying for gas and buying food? Aren't you concerned about that? Look at me. No. People don't have money. God has money. I'm not worried about that. I've got a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You mean to tell me that we serve a God who is not strong enough and able enough to provide the fuel to put in those buses to run and get little boys and girls and bring them to church? Of course he is. I don't worry about that stuff. Man, we get down to crunch time and somebody will send in, sometimes it's anonymous, somebody will send in a check and they'll say, we just wanted you to have this. And you open it up and there's a check for $50,000. That wiped out the deficit from last week where you backslidden birds didn't tithe. I don't worry about that stuff. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen, I'm not after anything. You say, well, I don't agree with you. I'm my own man. That's your old wicked heart. That's your old wicked heart talking to you. Well, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to join the church because that'll mean that I'm submitting to God's authority and to your authority and to the church's authority. Yeah, and that's your old wicked heart telling you that. It's a deceitful and desperately wicked heart that's telling you not to yield to God, but to not to serve God, but to serve mammon. And this attitude of churchianity is filling our society. We don't need churchianity, we need Christianity. And it is an Ananias and Sapphira type heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked that leads us to think this way. There's a second thing I want you to think about. Go over to Ephesians once again. Let me just read this over to you. I read it to you last Sunday night, but let me read it to you again tonight. Did I say I was going to let y'all go early tonight? Oh, pick one. They're all good. Chapter 6. Did I not tell you what chapter? Sorry. Good. Glad you woke up, John. Good. Look at verse 10, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Hey, look at me. I'm not your enemy. I'm flesh and blood. And I'm not your enemy. That's what verse 12 says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not your enemy. It doesn't do you any good to fight against me, because I'm not your enemy. Your enemy is principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, folks, your enemy is the devil. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, listen, here's the second thing I want you to see. I think that we have a wrong understanding of the powers against us. We have a wrong understanding. We have completely misunderstood the fact that there is a real devil in the world who is out to lead all men away from God. You know, the world laughs at the idea of a devil. They laugh about it. They've made a cartoon character out of the devil. You know, put him in a little red suit and giving him pointy ears and a forked tail, and he's holding a pitchfork in his hand. That's the world's idea of the devil. And folks, that is exactly, the devil is just satisfied for you to think of him that way. While you think that he's some little harmless, fuzzy little cartoon character, he's out here knocking the socks off of you. I mean, and the reason the world thinks this about the devil is because they haven't read the Bible. They haven't read the Bible. And if you'll read the Bible, you'll find out the devil is not this little fat red guy in the suit with a pitchfork in his hand. That's not the devil. No, the devil is principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is the god of this world. The devil is the liar and the murderer, and he has been so from the beginning. The devil is that enemy of God who hates God with a passion and hates you with a passion and hates the gospel with a passion. That's the devil. He'll be content to let you think he's some little roly-poly fat guy wearing a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand. He'll be satisfied with that. But you get in the Bible, you'll find out that that's not what the devil's all about. And the Bible is the only reference that tells us of this power and helps us to understand it. Again, the world says that all evil is nothing more than a lack of knowledge. Listen, folks, the trouble in the world today are not the Saddam Husseins or the Ahmadinejads or the Yasser Arafats. I mean, my goodness, two of these are already gone. The other's living on borrowed time, and yet the evil is still with us. The evil is still with us. The real trouble is the one who governs the Arafats of this world. The real trouble is the one who governs the Ahmadinejads of this world. You see, there's an evil force at work, an evil power that fills the hearts of men. We saw Saddam executed here a year or so ago, but the evil that was driving Saddam is the real problem, not Saddam. And several years ago, we were in the Holy Land, and our guide was a former tank commander in the Israeli army who fought in the Six Days War, and he was very knowledgeable of all that was going on in the military, and would one-on-one, he wouldn't talk about it very much on the bus with all the people, but one-on-one, when I got with him at night, he always liked to drink coffee and talk after the day was over, after the tour was over. And we would sit and talk, and he would start talking about Yasser Arafat. And I asked him one day, I said, well, listen, I said, why don't you guys just shoot that thing and be done with it? And here's what he said. He said, well, you kill him, you got 25 to take his place. And we can talk to him. Might not be able to talk to the guy that would take his place. So we haven't killed him. We could kill him. But you see, Yasser Arafat was not the problem. It was the evil that was behind Yasser Arafat that was the problem. And this unseen devil is always at work. This evil is always at work to keep us from following God. Hey, folks, listen, that evil, that devil is doing what he can right now to keep you from following and serving the Lord. He wants to keep you from reading your Bible. He wants to keep you from getting involved in the church. He wants to keep you out of Pastor Stainer's soul winning program. He wants to keep you out of this choir. He wants to keep you away from church on Wednesday night. He just doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. And he doesn't like the God that you serve. You see, there's an evil force at work. And this, the devil says, hey, don't listen to that Bible. Don't read that Bible. Don't join the Church of the Open Door. Listen, you got some problems with that preacher. You have some areas where you don't agree with him. Oh, listen, my friend, that's nothing more than the devil who knows your deceitful heart, who knows where you can stumble, who knows where he can trip you up. And I'm just telling you, you better not listen to him. You better not follow his advice. You better not go the route he's trying to get you to go. The strength that the devil has, he'll knock you down. And he'll do so by using your own deceived and desperately wicked heart to keep you from being what God wants you to be. Folks, would you realize that the battle is a heart battle? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I mean, it's a heart battle. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? Listen, folks, you cannot win. Listen to me now. This is so important that you get this. You cannot win a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons. You've got to have spiritual weapons. You say, well, I'll just get me a baseball bat. Baseball bats don't touch the devil. You say, I'll just get me a .357 Magnum. They don't touch the devil. The only way to fight the devil is to fight him with the spiritual weapons that Paul outlines in this passage of Scripture. Look at them, please. Look at them. In verse 14, our weapons are truth. Truth. I told you this morning, the devil hates the truth. First thing the devil did when he came to tempt Adam and Eve was twist the truth. He hates truth. The next weapon is righteousness. The next weapon is the gospel. The next weapon is faith. The next weapon is salvation. The next weapon, the Word of God. The next weapon is prayer. Folks, these things imply that we actually believe something, that we know something, and that we're doing something for God. If you're going to put on these spiritual weapons in order to fight the spiritual battle, it implies that you are actually knowing something and doing something for God. Does it not? I mean, they imply that we do more than just show up on a Sunday morning. They imply that we believe what the Word of God says. We believe it. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you believe what the Word of God says? I mean, that's what it implies here. These weapons that Paul tells us to put on, this armament, they imply that we obey God, that we stand for the truth, that we believe the truth. They imply that we should get into church and grow and get involved in a ministry of some kind, that we learn how to win folks to Jesus Christ. They imply that we as Christians do more than just lip service for God, but that we are actually involved in the ministry of God. They imply that we're not letting the television set run our lives. And this conflict that we are in is not just something that happens on Sunday morning, dear friend, but it's something that rages on Monday and Tuesday and every other day of the week. So not only do we need to bring our Bibles with us when we come to church on Sunday, but we need to have our Bible before us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and put on the whole armor of God every day of our lives. You say, why do I have to do that? Because you got a wicked heart within you. That's why.
Right.
And boy, you got to keep this Bible here so that it's out in front, so that when that devil starts shooting those darts, you got your armor up. You're defending. And you're not going to be tripped up. And you're not going to fall. And you're not going to get mad at Pastor Atkinson. You're not going to get mad at Pastor Holbrook. You're not going to get all upset and angry because somebody didn't ask you to do something that you think that somebody should have asked you to do. You're not going to get all ticked off over somebody not speaking to you or somebody sitting in your seat. You're not going to get mad because somebody said something about you that went through 37 people before it finally got back to you. And by the time it got back to you, they called you a murderer. When really what they said was they heard you murmur in church. Well, why does this stuff happen? Because we're all sinners with deceitful, desperately wicked hearts. And folks, I'm just trying to get you to see that it's not about me. And it's not about Rick. And it's not about Todd. Hey, and it's not about you. It's about our God. And our God sent His Son to die for us. And the devil doesn't want you to live for God, so the devil's going to fight you. And so you say, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. Here's what you do. You get in a book. Here's what you do. You join the church and you start living for God and serving God in the church. I mean, listen, just make up your mind. Hey, listen, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care what somebody else does. I don't care what somebody else says. I am going to serve Jesus.
Amen.
And just jump in there and start serving.
Amen.
You say, well, boy, the devil's going to fight me. Yes, he will. And he got old Ananias here, didn't he? You know why he got Ananias? He was after his heart, and Ananias dropped his guard. And my friend, I want you to know the devil's after your heart too. Now, don't drop your guard. Don't drop your guard. Keep your guard up. Keep your guard up. Stay in the book. Stay in church. Don't let all this little stuff that you see, the devil points this out to you and points it. Look at that Christian. Look at that one. Look at that one over there. Look at what he said. Look at what she said. Look at that Atkinson fella. I tell you, that's enough to make anybody want to backslide right there. But you can't let that get you to backslide. All right, look at that old Stainer guy. I tell you, soul winning. Yeah, but if you were out there winning souls, you wouldn't be griping and complaining about that. That'll preach right there, won't it? You got old Ananias. And folks, I want you to know he's after you. But you just need to decide, to make up your mind and decide, he's not going to get me. He's not going to get me. Put your armor on, Christian. Stand for God. And having done all, stand. Don't give the devil the opportunity to fill your heart. Let's bow for prayer. Well, our Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, I pray that you will bless what's been said and give us understanding of what we've heard tonight. Lord, in this awful, awful world that we live in, where there's just so much wickedness and sin, and Lord, the devil knows that he has but a short time, and so he is as busy as he's ever been. But Lord, help us not to get discouraged and help us not to get frustrated. And Lord, help us just to make up our minds that we're going to keep our hearts where they ought to be. Lord, thank you for our people. Thank you, Lord, for multitudes in this room tonight who have learned this lesson already. And Lord, they've been in the book and they've been through the storms. And the devil has tried to fill their hearts. Lord, thank you. There's folks that, Lord, a few years ago, maybe walked away. But Lord, you got a hold of their hearts and got them back. And Lord, thank you for the victories that they've won. And Lord, just keep us focused upon our hearts. Help us to realize, Lord, that the heart is where the battle is. And Lord, may we just determine that we're going to live for Christ. Take the whole armor of God and just stand. Lord, give us victories. I pray, Father, for that Christian here that the devil's trying to fill their heart. Lord, just convict. And Lord, may they come to this altar tonight and just say, oh, Lord, I want my heart guarded. And Lord, may you give some victories in hearts tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for your blessing. And I pray for my people tonight. And Lord, just pray for strength and help us, Lord, to stand. Oh, help us, Lord, to stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.